Welcome to another broadcast of the Straight Talk Podcast. I'm your host, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Hope your Thanksgiving went well. Mine did. We're now entering the Christmas and the Hanukkah season, and I hope you enjoy that as well. Here's where I want to start. The House of Representatives this past week just expelled one of their members, George Santos. Comes from a congressional district in New York, I believe, for, I don't know, a bunch of stuff. And you've all undoubtedly heard what he's been accused of and so on and so forth. And I'm not here to defend George Santos. He doesn't represent me. I'm not one of his constituents. That's for the people of his congressional district to deal with. That's just my position on it. Let them handle it. It's not for other members of Congress who don't live in New York and aren't from that district to do. And, you know, the self-righteousness of these members of the House of Representatives. I heard some of them speak. He's a disgrace. He's a whatever. That whole body is a disgrace. That whole congressional body. I mean, people like Eric Swalwell. And when's he going to be expelled? One who was having sex with a Chinese spy. You talk about ethics and morals, and I heard those two words used during this. You know, he violated the ethics and morals of the House. There are no ethics and morals in the House of Representatives. For heaven's sakes. And what about Bob Menendez? Why aren't the Republicans, instead of engaging in this act of political cannibalism, why don't they go after those guys? Oh, they're all of a sudden, well, we want to leave it to the people of his district. Oh, really? That's what the position should have been on Santos. You don't have to embrace him. Just say, you know what, the people of his district, that's who he's accountable to. He's not accountable to me. I'm a congresswoman or congressman from Idaho. But oh, no, there's a chance for everybody to grandstand. Virtue signaling is called, ladies and gentlemen. Virtue signaling. Oh, our standards and our morals and our ethics. These people are corrupt, they're immoral, and they're unethical. Most of them. Not all, but most of them are. So, after watching that, I come across a story here, and I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. The House of Representatives is set to lose 381 years of congressional experience as 31 members have announced their departures. Let's dive into this. 31 House members are set to retire. Some of them are running for the Senate. That's why they're leaving. These are career politicians. They've spent a lot of time in the House of Representatives doing nothing. And now they're going to take their traveling roadshow over to the United States Senate and do it from over there. This is an argument for term limits, but we're never going to get Congress to term limit themselves. I know it's a nice thought, but it's not going to happen. So what we need to do, at least we can start with these 31, find a candidate who takes a vow in writing, signs a pledge. Term limit themselves. I don't know, for the House, 2-year terms. I think 3 is enough. If you want to do 4, okay, 8 years. Okay, I'm not going to argue between 6 and 8. And for the U.S. Senate, 2 terms. You want to argue 3? Because, you know, one of the arguments I hear, and I'm sick of it, well, you know, it takes a while to get, you know, to learn the ropes. And then, you know, these people become experienced at what? Doing nothing? Raising the debt ceiling? Excessive spending? You mean that kind of experience? So it goes on to say here that 381 years of collective experience, congressional experience. These are the people you want to get rid of, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a chance. I wish they'd take the other in the House, 435 or 430 with them, 400 with them. I think it's 435 House members. And then 100 senators. I wish they'd all of them, complete turnover, a complete overhaul of the Congress, and get people in there who are going to term limit themselves. because we need a turning over, not a continuation of this. Well, this experience is going out the door. Experience at nothing. And their experience at dysfunction. Congressional experience. You got to be kidding me. Nobody thinks these people are irreplaceable. I mean, that's what this article makes it sound like. Madison Hall from Business Insider. Like, just, you know, it's irreplaceable. These 381 years of experience. How about all the collective experience of law enforcement officers who are leaving the profession because of this war on cops? How about that collective experience? No one seems to have a problem with that, especially not in the liberal media. The way these police agencies are bleeding cops. So I thought, you know, this kind of story here, it's self-serving. It's, you know, these people have an inflated self-worth of these members of Congress. So I did some research, and here's what I found. I found a poll from Real Clear Politics on congressional job approval. You know what the job approval rating of the Congress of the United States is? 19%. That's what the American people think of members of Congress. 19% approval rating. That's horrible. So then I did some more research. And I thought, well, let me look at this by profession. You know, who trusts? How do American people feel about trust, honesty, and ethics in different professions? So I found one. This lists, I don't know, about 19 or 20 professions. I'll go through some of them. You know where members of Congress are on this number of professions? Second from the bottom. You know the only one lower than them in terms of honesty and ethics rating, trust by the American people? The only one lower than them are telemarketers. You know who's above members of Congress in this survey of professions, trust, honesty, and ethics? Car salespeople. Car salespeople outrank members of Congress. And we're supposed to look at this story about all this collective experience leaving out the door. We won't miss these people. Goodbye. And you know what a lot of them will do too? And you know, you hear these excuses and you hear it. It's like a canned end. I want to spend more time in my family. Oh, when did you feel this? Basically, it's dog whistle. I got some time in here for a nice pension and benefits, and I think I'll get off this sinking ship. Spending more time with their grandchildren. Give me a break. You know what these people will do? Many of them, most of them, they'll go now and they'll be hired by some corporate board because of their access and their knowledge of how the system really works. Some will be on corporate boards. Others will go to lobby firms. That's their next job in life. Lobbyists. So getting back to the survey of professions, Americans' attitude about these professions in terms of honesty, trust, and ethics. At the top is nurses. Then medical doctors, then pharmacists, high school teachers, police officers. Number five, police officers. Then clergy, judges, accountants, labor union leaders, bankers, real estate agents, lawyers, journalists, advertising practitioners, business executives, car salespeople, and then members of Congress. And like I said, the only one below them, telemarketers. That's how the American people feel about Congress. We're not losing anything, set to lose 381 years of congressional experience. We will be better off with these people gone, with a fresh set of eyes. Although every time you get a new member of Congress, for the most part, they start drinking the Kool-Aid from the Potomac. and then they become infected with the disease of Washington, D.C. So I want to stay on this Washington, D.C. things. A story came out the other day. You know, I've been on this dump Rona Romney McDaniel campaign for some time now. She's got to go. She's at the heart of the problem. She's not the only problem, but she's at the heart of it. If you want to, if the RNC and the GOP want to do something to give the base voter hope and encouragement and excitement, get rid of this woman. She's useless. She's a loser. So the story, it says the GOP is having serious cash flow problems. How many times have I told you on this program they can't raise money? They suck at it. They have no get out the vote strategy. They suck at that too. And you wonder why we keep losing elections. So it says here the Republican National Committee is struggling to pull donor funds, but their chair insists that everything is all right. The RNC is in a funding drought, listing less cash on hand as of October 30th than on any report filed to the FEC, Federal Election Commission, since February of 2015. So since 2015, they've sucked at raising money. And she says, she insists everything's all right. It says here, the cause of the disparity is not immediately clear, but the RNC's struggle in recent midterm election cycles may have left donors skittish over the party's ability to produce results. Yeah, that's it. So it says here, this is from the Virginia RNC member on that board. The RNC's electoral record since 2017 speaks for itself, says Patty Lyman, who opposed McDaniel when she was reelected to another term in January. The damage from that chair election goes far beyond the drops in donations. Our base, she said, is demoralized. Why is it that the people that re-upped Rona Romney McDaniel for another term, why don't they know this? Because there's a disconnect between these establishment people, these elites, and what's going on at ground level. We're demoralized. We're done with the losing. We're tired of it. So it says here, RNC Chair Rona McDaniel brushed off the financial struggles in a statement to the Washington Post. She says, I think there's more donors just fully committed to their candidate right now, saying I'm all in, and once the nominee is set, I'll be there. She believes that. But since 2015, they haven't been raising any money, but she thinks this is it. Did she practice that line? So she says, that's what I hear more than anything. From who? They should have asked, who are you hearing that from? She's not hearing that from the base voter like you and me. She's not hearing that from people at ground level, at the county parties, at the state parties. She's not hearing that from them. She doesn't talk to them. She has no idea. She's just making this up. So she said, adding, there's nothing unusual about the situation. Oh, really? You know what I said when I read that? I went to social media, put up a post with this story, and I said, this is like the captain of the Titanic. The staff wakes him up in the middle of the night. Sir, we've struck an iceberg, and we're taking on water. And having the captain of the Titanic respond, well, that's nothing unusual there. We're in the water and going back to sleep. That's what that's like. She just denies it. When everybody knows there's a problem. Hey, the ship is sinking. We're taking on water. That's not unusual. Nothing to see here. We'll be all right. I can't believe this. I, folks, you know, I said at the start of this podcast, I would not lie to you. And I won't tell you what I think you want to hear. I'll tell you what I think you need to know. So it may not always be pleasant. But this woman is so clueless as to what's going on. And then here's another story. The ex-RNC director dings the party, calls it a colossal failure for scheduling a GOP debate that's coming, the one coming up at the University of Alabama, on the same night as the Country Music Award. He says, among other things, that they must not want to reach their voters. He goes, the night, first of all, the Country Music Awards, and whether you tune in, I don't watch this stuff, but I won't be watching the debates either. Well, that's a big deal to a lot of people on our side. Listen to country music. We like country music. So, you know, he says it's almost like they don't want to reach their voters to do this kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, this is, it's called tone deaf. Clueless. Read the room. Hey, when we set these dates, anything else going on? Not just what's on TV. That's not my point here. But anything else going on big? You know, try to, and you aren't going to be able to avoid everything. There's something going on every night. But you want to stay away from the big stuff. So he criticizes her for that. And it says here from this guy here, this former executive director who served as a head of the RNC in the 1990s. Who in the world would schedule a debate on the same night as the Country Music Association Awards unless you were actually trying not to reach Republican primary voters, said Reed. Precisely. But I think they are trying not to reach voters. They don't really care what the base voter thinks. Or they would do things differently. One of the things they need to do is get rid of Rona, Romney, McDaniel. You talk about a jolt of energy that would run through the base of this party by dumping her. And, you know, the thing that bothers me, too, is you don't hear a lot of top Republicans that are echoing that. You know, she's got to go. You know, it took Vivek Ramaswamy to do it. But, you know, he's just a candidate, and he doesn't have that kind of pull yet. But you have him. Trump has kind of whispered it. Yeah, maybe we need to make a change here. But he's not doing it loudly, and he probably shouldn't. Not at this point in time. But where are these other big ones? We need big donors. Some of these wealthy donors, Republican donors, and some more establishment people, maybe members of Congress, for example, maybe some senators, top senators, Ted Cruz, others. I think Rand Paul has called for her to go. They need to beat the drum. Start the drum beat. She's got to go. She's got to go. Take to the cable TV stations you're doing interviews on and tell them she's got to go. And then just cite the, you know, like Vivek Ramaswamy did. She presided over the losses in 2018, 2020, 22, 23. That's simple. You don't need this long diatribe as to why she's got to go. Under her leadership, or lack of leadership, but there's such thing as bad leadership. So under her leadership, been nothing but failure, underperformance. And until she goes, I don't have a lot of hope for 2024. Now, it's still early, but you know what? The clock is ticking. Time is running out because we're less than a year away now. We can't, you know, when I say there's time, it's running out. Someone's going to have to get their arms around this thing, chart a new course, a message, a vision. Not, nothing going on here. Nothing unusual. It's unusual to me. You can't raise money. We're not winning elections, not key elections in, you know, key states, key races. We're not winning. And I know she wants to blame the candidates. She wants to blame everything around her when she should say, you know what? The buck stops here. The one common denominator through all this is I've been here. And either put forth a plan to win and none of this, well, nothing unusual. I think, you know, they'll get it together. or else have the decency to resign in the best interests of the RNC, of the GOP, and of the conservative voter. Resign. You're not that important. Let's turn the page to this. I read this here and I became ill. The report here, Black Lives Matter Rhode Island leader Mark Fisher said Tuesday on Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends that he was endorsing former President Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential race. My first thought was, I don't give a damn who this Black Lives Matter leader is endorsing for president of the United States. But of course, you know, in this kind of stuff, because this is a man bites dog story, right? Black Lives Matter leader, and people get excited on our side, you know. Oh, look, hey, you know, not looking good for Joe Biden. First of all, this is a Trojan horse. All right, and like I said, I don't care who Mark Fisher is endorsing for president of the United States, but here's why this guy should be shunned, not embraced, and not taken in, which is why I said it's a Trojan horse. This guy has presided over a movement, Black Lives Matter, that has caused the death of law enforcement officers and the death of citizens throughout the United States. He's presided over a movement that has caused billions of dollars in property damage and business losses, business having to shut down that could never open again. They were torched and looted. This guy and his movement, Black Lives Matter, presided over that. And we're going to get giddy because this guy said he's endorsing Donald Trump for president of the United States. Here's what should happen. And I don't tell Donald Trump what to do. I know Donald Trump. I don't tell him what to do. But here's what I'd advise him. Man, you need to push this guy away. Don't do like you did with Kanye West, man. Don't fall for that. Don't do it. Push this guy away in a very public way. You don't have to get mean. Just say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Because your movement has caused the death and injury to law enforcement officers all across the United States who killed law enforcement officers under the banner of Black Lives Matter. And the movement that you lead has caused billions of dollars in property damage through riots, through looting, destroyed sections of cities, entire sections of cities. Thanks, but no thanks, Mr. Fisher. And here's what I would also advise him to say, because here's what I'll say about it. This guy is garbage over the destruction of the profession of law enforcement officers. It's this guy in this movement that started the defund the police movement. It's this guy in this movement, Black Lives Matter, that why police officers are leaving the profession in record numbers, and now all of these agencies are facing the loss of cops. They can't fill them, can't keep the positions filled. More are leaving than are signing up. This guy caused it, Mark Fisher. Now, I'm supposed to care who he's endorsing for president of the United States? Here's a statement from him. It's Fisher guy. I think personally it's the duplicity of the Democrats, the hypocrisy. We're not stupid, he says. Yes, you are. The brothers are not stupid. Yes, they are. We understand when someone is for us and when someone is not. It's obvious the Democrat Party is not for us. The Democrat Party hasn't been for black people for the last half century. And he's just having this epiphany now? He's just waking up to this? That the Democrats aren't doing anything for him? He's in 2024? And he says, we're not stupid. Yes, you are, because you've been voting lockstep in large numbers, 95, 96, 97% for Democrats for the last 50 years. Don't tell me you're not stupid. You're beyond stupid. So he says their policies actually strike at the heart of the black family and nuclear family. Yeah, no kidding. You're just figuring that out now? Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. They advocate for the dissolving of the black nuclear family. This isn't new. This is something they've been doing for a very long time. And all of a sudden, he's, well, yeah, I figured this out. Here's what Mark Fisher could do if this was sincere, because it's not. It's disingenuous. What, all he's saying, I'm going to vote and endorse Trump for president? How about going back and at least making an attempt at trying to undo all the damage you and Black Lives Matter have done to this damn country since 2014, Ferguson, Missouri? And don't do it on Fox and Friends. See, I said, this whole thing, folks, you can figure this out. This is self-serving. Why is he doing it on Fox and Friends? He needs to go to every Black urban, they like to call it, urban radio station, do a tour across the United States and go on and ask for time and come on there and say, you know what, Black Lives Matter. We owe America, we owe police officers an apology for what we did. I'm ashamed of them. And what we've done, we've destroyed businesses. We've destroyed people's lives. Police officers have been killed because of this movement. And we need to offer a collective apology. He needs to say it not on Fox and Friends, because he didn't even say it there, but he needs to do it on urban radio. How about this Charlemagne the God? Go on there and say what I just said. You know what? Black Lives Matter owes America an apology. Owes a police, American police officer an apology. We're sorry for what we did to this country. That would mean something to me, ladies and gentlemen. The hell with his endorsement for president. I don't care. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear about how you're going to undo, at least make an attempt, apologize, and undo the damage you did to this country under that movement, Black Lives Matter. So then you get this co-host on Lawrence Jones on Fox and Friends. He says, this is my favorite story of the day because it identifies what I've seen in the barbershop. Oh, shut up. That's what Mark Fisher needs to do. A tour. And he ought to go to every large city that has had these riots and who can't keep up with the hiring of cops now. And he should at least ask, say, hey, can I address your roll call? One of them, can I please? Or put together a video. Put together, that's a better idea because the cops aren't going to want to hear from this creep. Put together a video and send it to them and stand up there at a microphone and a podium and say what I just said. I am deeply sorry for what we did to your profession. We've caught Black Lives Matter has caused the death of some of your colleagues. We've destroyed sections of your city. And I am, as a leader of a chapter of Black Lives Matter, I am deeply sorry. That's what he should do. Keep your damn endorsement. Stick it where the sun don't shine. I don't care about who you're endorsing for president of the United States. I care about the damage you did to an entire profession, to the damage you've done to entire sections of city, businesses, some closed forever. So he says here, he adds, a lot of people are misinformed. They don't understand. They don't educate themselves on Donald Trump as a person and his history. You know what? Like I said, he's just figuring this out now. He says, I think it'll happen on its own. It'll be organic because personally, I love the man. How could you, as like a real man, doesn't even make sense, but I'm just reading it verbatim here. How could you not relate to someone like that? Oh, it's easy for you, you damn racist. If you would have informed yourself, if you would have educated yourself, you would have known what Donald Trump has done to the Black community in New York throughout his entire life. He's received awards from the NAACP. So he comes along with this crap. See, he knows that most white folks are going to eat this up. Oh, did you hear it? Black light? Oh, my gosh. Oh, this looks good. This does not look good for Joe Biden in 2024. Joe Biden doesn't care about this guy here. And the fact that he says he endorses Donald Trump. And you'll never hear anything from this goof again. But if he did his little tour across the United States, maybe the media would follow him around. Yeah, we're here in Ferguson, Missouri. Well, half the damn city was burned down of the riots after the lie of Mike Brown, hands up, don't shoot. This is what he should be saying. Creating videos. And like I said, call up all these urban radio stations and say, I want to come on. I want to talk about Black Lives Matter. And then spew it to them in those circles. Visit the barbershops in the hood and spew it to them. He would never do that, which I said, why I said, this is a Trojan horse. I think he's just here to infiltrate. Self-serving like Kanye West. Self-serving. Kanye West came out in support of Donald Trump in 2016, I think. Kanye West during the George Bush era said, after the Hurricane Katrina, George Bush doesn't care about black people. See, it's the same crap. He knew he could elevate his stature, Kanye West. He knew he could elevate his image and his marketability by, you know, cloaking himself around Donald Trump. It was self-serving. Look at that goof now. An embarrassment. So I don't think Donald Trump is going to embrace this guy like he did Kanye West. But he should say something publicly. You know what? Thanks, but no thanks. Why don't you go and apologize? Put a video together. It'll go viral. Go on urban talk radio and say what you're saying now. You know, we've been taken advantage of by the Democrat Party. That would mean something to me, ladies and gentlemen, not this crap. Goof. All right, finally. Came across this story that I thought was sickening. And it's from the Telegraph, I think, out of the UK. They've made a decision, this town. They will not light Hanukkah candles over fear of inflaming tensions. The East London Authority, this is Havering over in the UK. Havering's the name of the town or city or whatever they call it, will still hold a temporary installation and event for the start of the festival on December 7th, the details of which have not been released, but will then swiftly be taken down. Jewish campaigners said it was shocking and demanded the council chiefs reverse his cowardly decision at once. All right, the council says, citing the Israel-Hamas war that began on October 7th, the council said it has taken the difficult decision to pause the planned installation of the Hanukkah menorah outside the Havering Town Hall this year. We appreciate this is a hugely sensitive issue, but in light of escalating tensions from the conflict in the Middle East, installing the candelabra now will not be without risk to the council, our partners, staff, and local residents, he said in a statement. We would also be concerned with any possible vandalism or other action against the installation. You know who it would come from? Radical Islamists, pro-Hamas people. So this town is going to cower to the bullying and intimidation of radical Islamists. I thought Islam was a religion of peace. Isn't that what we're always told? We're told that all the time, it's a religion of peace. Then why is this town and others afraid of an uprising? Why is there violence at these pro-Palestinian rallies? Threats against Jews. Hate crime against Jews is up 388%. You think that's coming from Catholics, Christians, Lutherans? No. It's coming from radical Muslims. It's coming from stupid Americans that are showing up waving these damn pro-Palestinian flags. By the way, I put on social media, I took this chant, this disgusting chant of from the river to the sea, and I reworded it. And here's what I think we need to say and start to spread. From the river to the sea, Palestine shall never be there. Tired of these people, intimidating. So here, you know, people have to be afraid to practice their religion, Jews. So here's a group here, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, and here was their statement over this. They're not going to light them. We're going to light the menorah and then blow the candles out and take it down. I think it's supposed to last 9 nights, you know, the tradition of Hanukkah. So they're going to light it and then take it down right away. But anyway, this Campaign Against Anti-Semitism put out a statement. It says, this is shocking. At a time when nearly 7 in 10 British Jews feel afraid to express their identity in public, this is a monumental dereliction of duty. If people are offended by the sight of Judaism, then the council should be looking to educate, if not ostracize, these people, not appease them. Bingo. They went on to say, last Sunday, British Jews marched in pride, shoulder to shoulder with our allies, central London. We can never appease those who hate us by hiding who we are. Havering, which is the town, council must reverse this cowardly decision at once. Another guy from a conservative MP of Romford had recently written to the council's leader, this Havering council, to warn them that not lighting the candles would be a grave insult to Jewish communities. Yes. And good for them. Good for them. Divisive? The menorah? Really? You know what's divisive? Can you imagine in the United States? You know what's divisive? The Black Lives Matter and their flag. That's divisive. That has sparked violence. Black Lives Matter. They've triggered riots, shootings of police officers and innocent civilians, looting. Do you know that in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I know this exists in other areas throughout the United States, the Black Lives Matter flag flies on the same pole as the U.S. flag at the courthouse, which is the seat of county government in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a Black Lives Matter flag. How come they're not afraid to do that? How about the pride flag? That's very divisive, too. Say what you want about it. Now, that one hasn't sparked violence, but it's divisive. And gay people no longer have to run around hiding their identity, like this guy says here in this thing here. We got to run around hiding who we are, man, for fear of reprisals. So, you know, you see this stuff and you think, and I know, you know, people read this and, well, you know, maybe it's best. No, it's not best. They need to light that menorah and leave it up for those 9 nights. I think it's 9. Correct me if I'm wrong. Leave it up. And you know what? Post security around it. If you fear of vandalism, post security around it. 24/7. As an in-your-face. As a message of, we dare you. Don't even think about it. This is where we are in the world. And this is where we are in the United States of America, too. You know, Jews have to be afraid of being identified in public. This stuff is sickening, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not enough to just say that. We need to support this Jewish community, the Jewish religion, regardless of your denomination. I'm Catholic, but I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with people of the Jewish community. Unambiguously, unequivocally support them in this fight against anti-Semitism. Enjoy your week. You talk about race, crime, and politics. Some folks lose sleep over this, but not me, because I sleep just fine on my Giza Dream Sheets and Pillow from MyPillow, especially this new 2.0. If you haven't gotten yours yet, you are missing out. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, and save up to 66% off. The direct link is also available on my website, AmericaSheriff.com. Get a great night's sleep so we can continue the fight. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.